Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the Old Testament reading appointed for the third Sunday in Advent. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. This is the word of the Lord. We just sang in that hymn, "The King shall come when morning dawns and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills and life to joy awakes." There's an old tradition in churches, especially in the churches of antiquity, the ones that were built hundreds and hundreds and even 1,000 years ago and more, that when they built churches, the wall with the altar would always be the eastern wall, because we as God's people await our Lord to come, and he will come, so it said, on the eastern sky. Like the sun rises in the east, so our Lord will come to us. Well, we have a southern-facing altar. And that's all right. Maybe it's because we're Upers and we're looking towards where it's warmer than here, right? Actually, I'd heard it said, I've not verified whether or not this is true, that the original plot print of the building of this Our Redeemer facility had the wall where the altar is turned 90 degrees so that it was facing to the east. But somehow, I don't know if when it was staked out where they were going to start pouring the footings and building the facility, it got turned. I don't know if that's true or not, but I find it interesting. Maybe we need to remind ourselves to turn towards the east, to look with joy on our coming Lord. In the season of Advent, we rejoice and give thanks that we have a God who comes to his people. That God came in Bethlehem, born in the child Jesus. Jesus who lived and walked among us, died for us, rose for us. He comes to us even now in his word, in his gift of the Lord's Supper. He will, of course, come in glory on the last day, as the sun rises and brings its light in the eastern sky, so our Lord will come to us. We call that day Judgment Day. Perhaps judgment is something we're a little bit skittish to talk about these days. Consider this little book from which we have our Old Testament reading, Zephaniah. You can admit it if you didn't even know there was a book called Zephaniah, because it's small, it's tucked right in there towards the end of your Old Testament. It's only 3 chapters long. Maybe you haven't quite turned those pages in your Bible in a while, and they're kind of stuck together, right? Especially if your Bible's got really thin pages. Zephaniah, who prophesied in between the northern exile and the southern exile. Our Bible study students will know what I'm talking about there. Back in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and they invaded the northern half of Israel, which was at that time known as the Northern Kingdom. And those people were scattered throughout the world, forced to leave their homes. They never really returned. And then, a short time later, in 587 BC, I guess it was about 130 years later, then the Babylonians came to take on Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was torn down, and those people were forced to leave their homes. And in between those two major events in the Old Testament came Zephaniah. Not Zechariah, which is found 2 books later. Zephaniah. Maybe there's another reason he's relatively anonymous for us, because we probably wouldn't really like his message. In this day and age where you can get what you want, where you go to a restaurant and or a store or some kind of business and the customer's always right, we might not like what Zephaniah has to say. Consider The first couple verses of his book in chapter 1, he quotes the word of the Lord. He says, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Not exactly heartwarming, is it? See, we don't like the idea of God the judge. The way God is often pictured among people today in our world, and maybe even among some of us as Christians, is he's kind of this kindly old grandpa sitting up in the sky. You know, the kind of guy who gathers his little grandchildren on his lap and gives them a piece of candy and makes mom mad because they're not supposed to have sweets before dinner. He's kind of a heavenly Santa Claus with a big bushy white beard, and he gives out gifts to little children. We don't really hear much today of the old school preachers, right? Who talked about fire and brimstone, right? Who talked about the reality of hell and judgment. Well, that doesn't necessarily put people in the pews, does it? Who wants to hear about that? And yet, Zephaniah was such a preacher. He presents the God of fire and brimstone. He writes in chapter 2, gather together. Yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Zephaniah destroys for us any inkling we might have that God is some sort of weakling. That he's some sort of weak God who just, give the people what they want. All that matters is that we're all happy, right? No, the God Zephaniah presents to us is the same God that in truth we find all throughout the scriptures, that we saw all the way back in Exodus chapter 20 when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel. And he said, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. He's the God who punishes sin. Those who do not stand in righteousness before his face are those who will be swept away into eternal fire, who will be consumed by his burning anger. How can you and I stand before such a God? Enter the reason for the season. Enter Jesus Christ. Because somewhere between the God that Zephaniah presents in chapters 1 and 2 with burning anger and wiping mankind off the face of the earth, all of a sudden in Zephaniah chapter 3, you have a different tune. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. How in the world can we rejoice in the face of such a God? Well, Zephaniah says, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. Our Lord is the one who comes to us to take away the judgment that we so rightly deserve. Our Lord is the one who comes to take the judgment in our place, to be the object of God's wrath and his anger upon the cross, where all the judgment of sin and death and shame and guilt is poured on Jesus Christ himself. The Lord, Zephaniah writes, is in your midst. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil." In the life of the church, we have these pithy little sayings that we like to throw around, and maybe we don't often think about what we're saying when we use them. One of the ones that I think maybe we need to not use is that saying which says, "God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner." Actually, that's not what happens in Zephaniah 1 and 2, is it? God hates the sin, and what does he do with the sinners, with the wicked, with the unjust, with those full of sin? He unleashes his anger upon them. They feel his wrath. They suffer torment for eternity. But we rejoice because God has punished sin, but not on you and not on me. Jesus Christ, his Son, has taken the punishment for our sin. The Lord your God is in your midst, Zephaniah records, a mighty one who will save. He gathers those who mourn for the festival. Lord your God is in your midst. Jesus Christ has come into this world to take away the judgment that is meant for you and me. The Lord God is in our midst, in the man God, Jesus Christ, to bear the judgment meant for you and me. The Lord God is in our midst as fully God and fully man, to live the life we could not live, to die the pleasing death we could never die, and to rise in victory over the grave, which we could never do on our own. The Lord your God, Zephaniah writes, is in your midst. He's with you. The Lord God who came in Bethlehem's manger, whose way was prepared by John the Baptist. The Lord God who will come on the eastern hills, as we sang in our hymn. That very same Lord God is in your midst. Martin Luther is said to have written, "The Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid." You see, even more than focusing on the manger scene this time at Christmas, we would do well to focus on the Word of God, because that is where you will find Jesus, the Lord God, who is in your midst. And for those who find him in that Word, those who receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, we become like those in Zephaniah 3 who rejoice, who sing, who exult that the Lord has taken away our judgments. You see, those who present God as the Santa in the sky who gives us everything we want, they don't get it right. But those who present God as all fire and brimstone, they don't quite get it either. We rejoice because, aware of the reality of our sin, we have a Savior who has taken it away. And as Zephaniah reminds us in our reading tonight, we don't dread our Lord's judgment. We wait with joy for our Lord to come again. Which is why Christians would gather in churches to face the east, the eastern sky from which the Lord would come to them. Not to pour out his anger upon them, but to receive them as his holy, righteous children covered in the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we draw towards the close of Advent, which finishes this Sunday morning with our Sunday service, and then draw to Christmas on Monday and Tuesday, do so knowing you have a Lord God who is in your midst. And he comes to you with righteousness, his holiness, which covers you, which takes away every bit and ounce of your shame and guilt and weakness, and it makes you His. Rejoice that you have a God who comes to you. Rejoice that He is among you, in your midst, now and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.